So, Rabbi, as we always start, we'll start with a story. Yalla. Okay, for our first Maisa. You don't have to stand up unless you want to.
I want to stand up.
You want to stand up? Okay, right. Beautiful.
I was just getting ready to stand for a speech.
All right.
Sorry?
Yeah.
All right, so I don't know if anyone knows when World War I was. I think 1908, I think. It was around that time.
Beginning
but
of 1900s, yeah.
Basically, Sazamis lived in Russia, and Russia was recruiting a lot of young base medrash boys, not drafting a lot of base medrash boys to join the army. And they didn't want to join, obviously, because they wanted to learn Torah, and they were scared, and they were going to leave their families. So they all came to Sazamis or Bracha. Hopefully, they would not join the army. They would be safe when they're fighting. So one particular, he's a bacher, a well-learned individual, very young guy, very scared, didn't want to leave his family. He's like, I'll go to Sfas Emes to get a bracha, hopefully I don't need to get in the army. He gets to the Sfas Emes says, yeah, good luck in the army, but I'll give you this, I'll give you a gift. He gives him a booklet on Bris Milah, how to do Bris Milah. The guy's like, what am I going to do now? I have to go to the army? Like, I didn't get any blessing from Sfas Emes, I only got this booklet about Bris Milah. So he gets to the army. A lot of months, they can't do any mitzvot, can't do anything, not enough food, you're freezing, it's in Russia, it's cold. One day, though, a captain pulls him over. He says, you're Jewish, right? He says, yes, yeah, come with me. He says, I only picked you because you look cleaner than all the other people. Everyone else is Polish and Russian, and they look dirty. You look clean. Why is it you're clean? He's like, I don't know, that's just how I've been taught. He's like, no, why are you clean? He's like, I don't know, that's just who I am. He's like, do you keep kosher? He's like, yeah, I keep kosher. The captain's like, what do you mean you keep kosher? You're in the army, like, we're not giving you kosher food. We need to win the war. Why, what are you doing keeping kosher? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And the captain pulls out a gun. Do you keep Shabbos? And he realizes, like, maybe this is a test from Hashem. He's like, okay, fine, I keep Shabbos. He's like, what do you mean you keep Shabbos? What are you doing? How do you keep Shabbos? It's the army. We're in the Russian army. How do you keep Shabbos? So he's freaking out right now. I think he's going to die. And the captain says, very quietly, pulls him over. He's like, look, I'm Jewish. I'm not religious or anything. Meanwhile, I'm just a baby boy, but I'm Jewish. And I heard that you needed someone to give the baby boy Bris Milah, and they need to be someone who keeps kosher and someone who keeps Shabbos. So the guy's freaking out right now because he's like, okay, so what am I going to do about that? Because the captain's like, if you do this, you give my son a Bris Milah, I will give you civilian clothes and you get to go home. And the guy's like freaking out, like, I don't know how to do Bris Milah, what am I going to do? Suddenly he remembers this Sfas Emes gave him this booklet about how to do Bris Milah, and he gives the kid a Bris Milah and he gets to go home. Sfas Emes goes off.
Wow. Back like the Sfas Emes out there,
wow. Unbelievable.
Look at that. That was fire.
Wow. Chavra. All right. Who's next week? Who's saying the story next week?
I volunteer.
Yeah?
I'll do it.
Okay, Gabriel. All right. No, it's a story from the Sfas Emes. We're learning Sfas Emes. We learn about this tzaddik. Okay. Wow, what an unbelievable story. Wow, mamas. Tov, Chavra, we're gonna do two pieces today. One is very, very, very difficult. I'll tell you why it's difficult, and then we'll do the less difficult piece first, and then we'll do the very difficult piece. The first piece is very difficult, not only in its tochen and its content, that it's not so clear exactly what the Sfas Emes means at a sof. And even if we fully do understand what the Sfas Emes is saying, it's a very theologically challenging thing that the Sfas Emes is saying. And really, it's not only about what the Sfas Emes is saying, it's really about the entire parsha. The first parsha of the Eishes Yifas Tohar is a baffling parsha as a whole. And the Sfas Emes is going to take a swing at trying to understand what exactly the Torah wants to teach us with this parsha. But let's start with the second piece. On the bottom of the page, it's a piece from the year Tafresh Lamed Daled. It's a famous Torah from the Baal Shem Tov. And I want to say that I actually had a conversation with someone today, this even during Night Seder, about a product or an antidote which is connected to this Torah. So the Sfasama says the following. The Pasuk says, Lo tireh shor achicha, right? You shouldn't see the ox or the donkey of both a friend and an enemy, and or an enemy, that it's rovetz tachas maso, that he's carrying a strong load, and either the animal falls down or the animal is about to fall down. So the Torah tells him, Hakein takimimo, that you're supposed to help him up. You're supposed to help him get through this whatever this parsha that he's involved in order so that from a moral perspective we realize that first of all that Tzar Bali Chaim is midoraisa, that Tzar Bali Chaim is a significant thing, but also to understand that we have to be able to live in the shoes of our friends and we should do v'hafta l'recha kamocha, that I wouldn't expect someone else to help me, even if he didn't like me so much. So the Torah expects that of every single Jew. Now, the Sfas Emes goes in a whole different direction with this Torah, and he says the following. Lo tireh shor achicha hashev tashivim. Yesh lomar, shekol mi sheroe bechaveiro, toa miderech hayashar. What happens? We look at our friends. This could be very relevant and is very relevant to all of our lives. We could see our friends in different places. You see a friend, he's a little bit off the derech. He's doing something that maybe he really shouldn't be doing. He said something that upset you. He said some lashon hara. He spoke not nicely about someone. He did something on Shabbos that you don't think was appropriate. So you see something that he's doing that doesn't lo motzechein beinecha, doesn't look presentable, it doesn't look like the right thing to do. V'yesh lomar shor lashon habata. So the lashon of shor, says the Sfas Emes, is also the lashon of looking. That I'm looking and I'm seeing something. Oshar tznua re'a tzarich litakno. And then you see that the guy's involved in something and it's boiling inside of you. You're like, why are you doing that? You got to fix this. You got to... Says the Sfas Emes, the Eitza al Yedei Tshuva. So obviously, first of all, the Eitza is that we should do Tshuva. Kmo shekasu v'svarim hakdoshim. Kol ma sheroe ha'adam shayech lo. V'tzarech lashuv al ze v'al yedei ze mevi hirhur tshuva gam b'chaveiro. V'zeh shekasu v'hashev tashivim. The Sfas Emes quotes a very, very famous Torah from the Baal Shem Tov. He quotes it in the Svarim HaKadoshim, the name of the Svarim HaKadoshim. The Baal Shem Tov says that any time that you see something going on, everything that we see in our lives, there's supposed to be a message there. There's supposed to be a message there, and that message is that there's a famous song by Michael Jackson, Lahavdil Elif Havdolos, but it's called Man in the Mirror. You guys know the song? Yeah. So the Baal Shem Tov really was mechadish this idea that any time that you see something in this world, especially when someone is doing something wrong, what really you're seeing is a mirror of something, some sort of chiseron that you have. And that's why it bothers you so much. That's why it bothers you so much. Obviously, there's an aspect in when you see someone doing something, doing the wrong thing, so you also, you're chas al Hashem, like, you want to, you know, you have a little bit of kinna. You know that that's not the right thing to do. So you're upset that he's not doing the right thing. He's not doing Ratzon Hashem. Says the Baal Shem Tov, but sometimes, and especially in our door, now I just want to mention, because I didn't think I was going to mention this, but I was speaking to a guy about a situation in which he was in some sort of WhatsApp group. And in that WhatsApp group, he saw that there was a lot of Lashon Hara being spoken about from one guy. One guy was speaking a lot of Lashon Hara in the WhatsApp group. And he asked me, Rebbe, what should I do about this? Where's my role? Like, should I say something publicly? Should I reply to him privately? And I said that hocheach tochiach, the mitzvah of tochecha, is very, very difficult to do in the proper way. The poskim tell us already that the mitzvah of tochecha is almost like not even, we can't even properly do it because it has to be all lishma and so on and so forth. They have to do it in the proper way. So then he said, so then like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm supposed to just like see this and like just like let it go by? And like when you're walking on the street, you see someone doing the wrong thing. Your hochacha, your hocheach tochiach isn't going to stop him. It might like even just like make him even more upset. So then if I'm not supposed to fix what he's doing, why am I seeing this? if we really believe in Hashgacha Pratis, we understand that the reason why we're seeing this is because there's something in that mirror that I'm looking into that really there's something inside that I'm a little bit uncomfortable with myself. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with something, and therefore, says the Sfas Emes, that not only when you see that and it bothers you that a person should, it should bring him to a hear her tshuva, says the Sfas Emes, and this is a chiddush that I don't think the Baal Shem Tov himself said, is that through that hear her tshuva, you also create some sort of kinetic energy in which by you not even saying something to your friend, you could be zocha to give him a hirur tshuva as well. How that works exactly, I don't know. Says the Sfas Emes, take a look at his lashon. Val yedei ze mevi hirur tshuva gam bechaveiro. Right? Also in his friend, meaning the fact that I'm not doing hocheach tochiach, which is one way which I could bring a hirur in my friend to do tshuva. But also through my introspection and saying, like, there's a reason that I saw this. Right? I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. Can anyone think of an example of an experience that they had that they felt like they saw something because and then they realized that it was something that like they were dafka uncomfortable with, and that's why I bothered them so much. Any experience like that before?
Judgmentalness, I guess.
Huh?
Judgmentalness.
Right, being judgmental sometimes could be a product of like. And then you realize that, like, really, like, maybe the issue is that, like, I'm very judgmental, and, like, that's why I'm judging him right now. Right? Yafa. Anyone else?
You have a lot when you're angry at someone in an argument, and they're like, relax, and you scream back, like, I am calm, right? Right. Maybe not.
Right, right. And then the calmer the guy speaks, like, the more
right.
angry
it's
it
like,
gets
why
you.
Why aren't you angry?
Right, right, exactly. I think you should calm down. Like, yeah. So I think the first Torah over here that this Sfas Emes is telling us is that we have to be cognizant of everything that's going on in our life, that every place that we're in, whatever situation we're in, we could always learn from that situation, even if you feel helpless. And it could be the Rebbe has a long, the Lubavitcher Rebbe has a long sicha about this, speaking about what happens if I'm like, if I'm so good at this midah, that it's like so not, like, there's no havamina in the world. Like, I was mitaking this mita so much, and that's why it's bothering me. Says the Rebbe, even in that situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell you something when you see this. He's trying to tell you something. I'm not sure what he's trying to tell you, and I'm sure in every situation it's different, but we at least have to open our eyes to see the man in the mirror is really just a reflection of what's going on inside. And let's just finish the Torah. Yeah.
How can you
like something beyond us to like you comprehend.
Right. Right. I think once again, there's some sort of spiritual impact that I have on another Jew, even like without verbalizing anything to him. I don't know how that works. Meaning, like in the spiritual realms, like the idea. B'chal, we're in El right now. There's an idea that my tshuva impacts the world. Like my personal tshuva impacts the world. So, and how does it impact his tshuva? Because there's...
The actual tshuva.
Huh?
You're saying by looking at him, you have Harris tshuva, and Mimela, somehow he has...
No, through... I think only when your Hirhure tshuva turn into, like, into real introspection, send the Sfas Emes says, like, Kanir'eh, because remember, at the end of the day, like, Am Yisrael is like one body. Right? We're all one body. Says the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, we're all one body, we're guf echad. And therefore, like, if I'm like the finger, ledugma, right? So the finger went through a process, went through an experience. So the other hand might not at this point, like, know that he went through that experience, but somewhere deep inside, there is going to be some sort of hero tshuva.
I think, just on that point, I think also that if you realize that you're looking at someone because it's an insecurity with yourself. And I know Nachman, the wrestler, the Kuzim Aran, says that if you judge someone favorably and you look back at them, and he actually, the Metzius actually changes. So if you see it within yourself, that great tshuva, in the stomach, your entire mindset's changing, and that same punishment, that same bad thing that you thought you was doing, since your whole mindset has been changed because you realize you've had injury itself.
So that could.
And that these guys not actually doing the same thing wrong, like it sees. The entire thing seems to actually change because of your mind.
Yes, meaning like, and it could be that what Rabbi Nachman is saying is like, you might think that he's doing something, but also at the same time, like, you never really understand the entire situation. Like, you're not in his feet. You don't have his parents. You don't have his life experiences. So you don't necessarily understand what his struggle is. So, that's the first Torah. It's a beautiful Torah. It's a very famous Torah that's set over in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. I'm schwitzing a little bit. You want to turn the air conditioner on? If it gets too cold, we'll turn it back. We'll turn it back on. So now let's get to this other Sfas Emes. The Torah says something very weird. The Torah says that when a Jew goes, it's the first one. It's the first two ones, really. It's mentioned in a few different places, this Torah. So, Torah says you go out to war and you find an Eishes Yefas Tar. So the Torah allows you to bring her home. And she has to go through this whole process, which the Ramban calls, it's like a process of avelus. She cries about her father and her mother, and she grows out her toenails and grows out her nails and grows out her hair, and she gets all gross. And then only after 30 days, it's like the shloshim period, then she could you know, beautify herself, and then you can marry her. And the Torah says at the same time, like, at that point, like, if you don't want her, so then you have to let her go. You can't, like, keep her as a slave. So, Bipashtus, what's going on, like, before we get into, like, any questions, Bipashtus, what's going on is that the Torah, like in a lot of places, is trying to look at the reality and saying that this is the reality in the world. Slavery was a reality in the world, and therefore the Torah is reacting to a reality in the world and trying to make it happen in the most nice, moral, effective way. That's Bipashtus what the Torah is doing. But now, if you look at some of the Midrashim, there's a very famous Midrash which Rashi quotes, which the Torah says, Lo dibra Torah ela neged Yetzer Hara. That the Torah kivyachol is speaking against the Yetzer Hara. Because Baruch Hu kivyachol knows that a person was not going to be strong enough in war to hold himself back from raping this woman. And therefore, because he knows, the Torah knows that you're going to be over an Isser D'Oraisa of taking this woman, says the Torah, it's mutter. But now, it has to be mutter in the proper way. It has to be done in the proper way. Now, a very basic question which everyone asks is like, so like, does the Torah just like do that for like everything? Like, Shabbos is like really hard, so like, and people have a hard time keeping Shabbos, so like, let's make it mutter. Like, how does that work? And why specifically in this world? Right. Another thing that we have to know, another piece of background that we need to know, that all of these mitzvahs in this week's parasha, for the most part, most of the Rishonim understand that we're speaking about what is called a milchemes rishus. What's a milchemes rishus? It's not in Eretz Yisrael. It's expanding the borders of Eretz Yisrael outside in international war. And there's different halachos. Okay, so that's the background that we need to know.
Also,
yeah.
If the whole point is that the guy in the rage of war and all that wouldn't be able to stop himself in the moment, then having him wait 30 days like kind of defeats the point. Meaning, if he's able to wait 30 days, he's able to wait forever. And if he's not able to wait a minute, he's not able to wait 30 days. Like,
right.
It doesn't really accomplish
anything. Right,
right. The guy who can't hold himself back today is not going to be like, oh, but if they only make me wait a month, then I'm okay with
it.
Like, he'll come to like realize, like, oh,
I think that's the process. Yeah. That's the point of it. Right, yeah. But he's saying that doesn't solve the issue. It doesn't solve the problem.
The guy who's going to be able to say, okay, you know, I'll stick to the process and I'll wait the 30 days, we're not worried about those kind of guys. We're worried about the guys who like can't control themselves and aren't going to do it right now.
And not only that, and I'll get to you in a second, but like also if we think about it, it's like when the Torah says that it's mutter now. So is this a good thing now? Because usually good things are mutter and bad things are usser. So the Torah just took something which the Midrash is saying, Dibra HaTorah Keneged Yetzer Hara, which sounds like that what? The Yetzer Hara is bad. So this is a bad thing. The Yetzer Hara wants is a bad thing. The Torah makes it mutter, so now it's good. There's something very challenging about that. Yeah, Gavriel, you want to say something?
Just question about like how this works. Do they have to like they force him to convert? Is that what happens?
No. Meaning like if he wants to marry her, like she has to go through a conversion process.
It sounds suspicious, but like sketchy. Like today, like whole thing's like you can't convert for marriage, but then it's like
right. In the times of the Torah, things were a little bit different.
It's also kidnapping, yes.
It's also kidnapping. Well, meaning it sounds like her whole family's dead. So like this is like her best situation.
Wait, so her whole family's dead, or are you captured? Because I thought she's crying.
No, I think, I thought that the pashtus in the psukim is that she's crying about her father and mother who are dead. But it could be that she's crying from home. Either way. So either way, we have a lot of questions. Let's try to deal with some of them. Take a look at the second paragraph. Berashi lo dibra Torah ela neged yetzahara. Just in the first paragraph, the Sfas Emes tells us, just like we spoke about last time, that in a lot of these sugyas, what ends up happening is that we can't really relate to the dinim of war. But what can we relate to? We can all relate to an inner war which we experience of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Tov, so we have that milchama. So therefore, let's try to highlight that war. Says the Sfas Emes, Barashi lo dibra Torah el neged Yetzer Hara. The halo, says the Sfas Emes, such a good question. The halo haya mutav, shelo latet koach la Yetzer Hara la asicho lezeh. This is Sfas Emes, like, if God was already interfering with, like, the Seder Ha'olam, what should he have done? He should have just made a person a little bit more strong. Made his Yetzer Tov just a little bit stronger. Why interfere in a way that you're making something which is usser, mutter? If you're interfering already, just do the opposite. You understand what the Sfas Emes is asking? And a better question than all of us asked. Meaning all the questions we asked are important, but the Sfas Emes is saying, why make it mutter? Why not just, if you're interfering already, just make the person stronger?
Aren't you also like, like non-kosher when you're at war?
Right. So says the Sfas Emes, Ach kizeh atzmo shehitiro hakasuv shelo yeh adam nidbak v'ne'esar la'asitra achra. Al yedei hamaisik moshekasuv betanya sham iser shema aser adam lekoach hasitra achra shiyesh b'maise ha iser. Says the Sfas Emes, and we need to understand a concept which is found in the Tanya. In Tanya and Periches, the Alter Rebbe speaks about that there are two different realities in this world. There's something which is called usser, and there's something which is called mutter. What is Matir Asurim mean? To be Matir Asurim means to an usser, something, someone who is usser is tied. He's tied, he's locked down. He's an asir, he's in jail. He's locked in. So says the Alter Rebbe, things that are usser, which the Torah makes usser, means that there's no koach for a Jew to do anything good with that. There's no possible with a pig. Outside of pikuach nefesh, there's nothing, there's something inherently usser about this cheftza. It's a cheftza of iser. A cheftza of orla, it's an iser, it's tied down. Right? A Jew can't do anything with an iser. What's a heter? What's mutter? Mutter is the opposite of that. Something which is not usser, it's not tied down. So what is heter? We said that the Sfas Emes was telling us that the most of the Mefarshim are telling us that this war is a milchemes harishus. Yeah. So what's a milchemes harishus? Would you say milchemes harishus is an iser or a heter? It's a heter. It's mutter. It's in the world of mutter. Says the Alter Rebbe, what happens to a person when he does an Isser is he's locked down by it. It brings him down and it ties him to whatever that Avera it was that he was doing. That's why the first thing that we do by Yom Kippur is what? What's the first tefillah that we say? Kol Nidre ve'esarei, all of the Isurim, all of the Nidorim, which I tied myself to, what am I doing? I'm letting go of those. I'm untying those. But we can't do, only Hashem could be Matir Asurim. So go back to the Sfas Emes. If now we understand what the Alter Rebbe is saying, is that there's two realms in this world. There's a realm of Asur and there's a realm of Heter. So then why does the Torah, why is the Torah Matir this situation? Lo Dibra Torah Ela Neged Yetzer Hara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that our most basic taiva in this world, and when I say taiva, I don't necessarily mean bad. Our most basic taiva in this world is the taiva of the arayos, the taiva of relationship, the taiva of sexuality. It's the most basic. It's Yosef HaTzadik. That's Yesod. It's the most fundamental. It's the creation. It's the creation of Kedusha. It's the creation both of Kedusha, but it can also be a terrible, terrible, terrible perversion of that Midah. And that's what Yosef's, his whole avoda was with Ashes Potiphar. It was Midas Yesod. He had to run away from that. Right? Yeah.
According to our definition, that's
mutter. What is
mutter? The taiva of
arayos. The taiva of arayos, the taiva of etzem, a person wanting to have a sexual relationship, that be'etzem is mutter. That be'etzem is mutter. And it's not only mutter, it's in some situations, it's a mitzvah. It's the whole precedence of this world is puru revu. It's the first thing that Amram Chav are told. Right? So says the Sfas Emes, if we're speaking about a world, and now this is why I said it was challenging, because if we go along with this idea, so then we get into a very theologically challenging place, which is we know that there are certain relationships which are us or inherently. You can't sleep with your sister. You can't sleep with your father's wife. There's arayos which are us or inherently. So why is the Torah specifically matir? This one, I don't want to deal with that question right now. Maybe we could speak about it after. But I want to speak about etzem hadavar. Says the Sfas Emes, what happens to a person when he's in a very, very dark place, like war? In war, you're in a dark place. We can't really like understand this. But like it used to be that when you were out on war, you didn't see your wife. You didn't see your family. Could be for a year. Could be for years. Right? People came back and they had a whole new life. And the war, like you were saying, you don't have to keep kosher, Shabbos, like the story we were saying, Mamish. I don't know how you knew this Torah that we were going to say. Like this, the idea of a war, like, right? The Sfas Emes knew that we were going to learn this Torah. A person's in a very, very challenging place. He's in a place which sometimes he could feel a little bit asur. He could feel that he's totally tied down to this world of Isser. When a person feels totally tied down to the world of Isser, what happens? To do tshuva is so much harder. Because you feel like that what? I'm this guy. I'm this guy that watches those videos. I'm this guy that does that, that did that, that spoke this way, that I feel tied down. It's like that Chidush Arim. It's like, I'm the guy who plays in the mud. I'm the guy who plays in the mud. So says the Torah, when you go out to war, b'milchemes harishus, in the world of Heter, which is most of our life, by the way. Most of our life is not mitzvos. Most of our life is not avoiding averos. Most of our life is the world of rishus. It's the world of, I'm just eating, just drinking, just breathing, just speaking. Not in the world of mitzvos, not in the world of averos. When you're in the world of milchemes harishus, what is challenging is that when a person feels that he's totally tied down by the averos that he's done or the averos that he's going to do, That could be, it could be paralyzing. It could be paralyzing. So says the Torah, that Hashem realizes that this person is in such an eis tzara, that ad kedei kach, that he takes something which is usur, and he doesn't say that it's good. The Torah doesn't say that it's good. The Midrash actually goes on to say that sofa lisanosa, that at the end, what is, what's going to happen to this? He's going to hate her, and then because chevre, if we think about it, you kidnapped a woman, so the relationship was all built on what? On taiva and arayos, and so it was all built on like this sexual like enamor and this something, but it wasn't built on like any core values. So what happens? You wake up the next morning after these 30 days. You wake up and you say, "This is shiksa." At the end of the day, so she's a good looking shiksa, but she's gross. I don't want to. So then, but then you're stuck. You have a ben sore or morer because you're kosher, you're usher. So says the Torah, there's a process. 30 days, not 30 days stam, the 30 days of Elul that we're in right now. The Svasana says in other places that the milchama of Elul, the milchama that we're in a little bit, is in the milchama of 30 days. But also trying to, and this connects to what we spoke about last time, is that Sur Mei Rav Asei Tov, says the Torah, we have to be able to move on from those things which are tying us down. Ad kedei kach, and this is the theologically challenging piece, is that Hashem takes an iser and makes it mutter. Why? In order to allow a person to do tshuva. Now, why does he do it with this iser and not other iser? I don't know. That's a question bichlal on the Eishes Yafas Torah. But the message here is that Hashem is trying to tell us, in the Milchamas HaRishus and most things in this world, you have the opportunity to take these things and make them B'kedusha. You have the opportunity to take a meal and make it a meal of Oneg Shabbos. And don't make it a meal of that it's an Achila Gasa. You have the opportunity that when you're speaking B'dvar HaRishus, that you speak in the right way and that you're not tying it down to a world of Isser. That's essentially our entire lives. Our entire lives is the Milchemes HaRishus. And the question is, what is our Rishus going to look like? What is our, in the words of the Alter Rebbe, the world of Klipas Noga? Klipas Noga is something which is a mix of Tov Vira. It's a mix of good and bad. And the question is, what is our lives going to look like? So, Lo Dibra Torah Ela Neged Yetzirahara, once again, I'm going to repeat myself. It's not saying that the Eishes Yafas Torah is a good thing, right? It's a bad thing. But you can choose what your life is going to look like. You could choose within this sugya that if you do it through the proper way and you do the 30 days and at the end, maybe the Torah doesn't say that in the end for sure it's going to be like A. The chances are it's going to be like A. The chances are you're going to hate her because you don't share anything. But it could be, says the Torah, it could be in this relationship that something positive will come out of it. Could be. But that's up to you. And that's everything in our life. We need to be able to distinguish from the things that are usur, the things that are tying us down, and the things that are in the world of Rishus. The things that are in the world of Rishus. So we spoke about two ideas today. We spoke about, first of all, the man in the mirror. It's understanding that every experience that I have is trying to teach me something about whether I can do something about what he's doing or not. It's not really important. That's a mitzvah. It's very hard for us to be mekayim that mitzvah. But the reason why you're seeing this, me'aver to that mitzvah, hochiach tochiach, is because that there's something inside that I need to learn from this experience. And the second idea is in the world of Rishus, the Torah allows us to, and the Torah specifically, Hashem gives us this world in which most of our life is Rishus. And the question is, what are we going to do with that Rishus? Are we going to make it into Kedusha? Or are we going to tie it down, be involved in the world of Tuma? To all Emir Tashem through these 30 days of the Eishes Yafas Tohar, the 30 days of our Melchama, to be Zocha to get come to Rosh Hashanah that much closer to Hashem. Shkoyach, guys.